Today's reading is from Leviticus. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. Our second reading is from Malachi. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, and pour down for you an ever-flowing blessing. Our final reading is from 2 Corinthians. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Oh, hey, welcome home. Nice to see ya.
Me too. Hey, I got a letter from the church asking us to fill out this pledge card for what we plan to give next year.
Already? Didn't we just do that?
A year ago? Come on, help me out. What are we gonna put down?
I don't know. What does it suggest?
Well, it does talk about tithing.
Tithing? What's that?
Well, it says here 10% is tithing.
10%? Is that net or gross?
I don't know. What's the difference?
Net is everything in our checking account after taxes. Gross is everything before taxes.
10% of everything? Ew, that is gross. How are we going to afford to do that?
I don't know. We got to figure something out.
Hey, I got an idea. Time is money, right?
Sure.
The church is no different.
Right.
So, what we need are deductions.
All right, deductions.
Look, calculator.
How convenient.
Work with me here.
Okay, so deductions, time is money. You mean like us doing the choir concert?
Oh my goodness, yes, that's right. Okay, so that was 3 hours on Thursday night for 2 months and performances. We'll do that by how much we make an hour.
Great, let's add this up. Okay, more time is money. We brought food to the youth lock-in.
Oh, that's right, and that's wear and tear. Incredible deductions. Come on, give
Fantastic.
Me some more.
Fantastic. We both did servant day, and we brought our own tools.
Oh, that's 4 hours and tool rental. Oh, you're doing great. Come on, give me some
great.
More.
Great. All right. What else did we do? Time is money. We substituted for Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
We did summer splash.
Oh, yes, and remember Fletcher Place? And we had the pastors over for dinner.
Oh, pastors over for dinner. Dave, no more potatoes! Man, those guys can eat.
Wait a minute. We have donuts on Sunday morning.
Oh, don't worry about that. I take care of that. I put a whole quarter in there each week.
Oh, so we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about that. Okay, back to time is money. All right, so what about them going long every week? I mean, Rob has to know that my time is money.
How many Sundays do you think they went long?
I'd say 54, 55.
Honey, there's only 52 Sundays to a year.
Yes, and there's Maundy Thursday and Good Friday. Just add those all up.
We're so close. Give me a couple more.
All
Come
right.
on, think.
Let's keep moving. We've got, the online survey. Would that take 12 hours?
Oh.
And then there's the journal thingy they're handing out, too. That's more time we're putting there.
Oh, yes, honey.
I got one more. We need one more. About we had a meeting at our house. Yes, we had a meeting at our house. And there's the mortgage and gas and electricity.
Oh, my gosh, that's better than what we thought.
How much do we owe?
It says here the church owes us $325.
All right. I can't wait to turn in this card.
Don't applaud that. Don't applaud that. No. Let's don't misunderstand that. It needs the caveat that, remember, these are professional volunteers. Don't try this at home, all right? If you haven't already done so, I invite you to take out your outline for the message this morning. but also keep a hold of your bulletin that has today's scripture lessons, because I want to refer to our scripture lessons. And as I usually say with the outline, my hope is that this will be for your use beyond anything I say, that thoughts that come to you, ways you feel like God is prompting an idea, a challenge, something that will need further reflection or action, that's where the outline becomes a really, really valuable tool. So I hope you'll keep these handy. I want to begin with a simple question prompted by this skit. Have you sat at a table like this, doing a task like that, holding a church pledge card, and wondering again, what should we put down? The question behind that is, what do I owe God? What do I owe God? It's actually a very good question, but the answer depends on how you understand the word owe. When owe appears in a question, it is seldom inspiring. What do I owe? How much do I owe? Do I owe you? That's obligation. That's responsibility. That's not joy. It's not freedom. But there are other ways people use the word owe that is very inspiring. I owe everything to the people in my life. I owe it all to my family. Or like Paul used it in Romans, owe nothing to anyone except the obligation to love one another. And there's something beautiful about that kind of owing. There's something godly in that kind of owing. But if there is an area of church life that deals with that uninspired sense of owing more than any other, it has to be the topic of giving. This is probably where we are very similar to all religious groups. Voltaire once said that when it comes to giving, everyone's of the same religion. And if giving is an unappealing topic to people today, to people in St. Luke's, then certainly the topic of tithing is about as uninspiring as watching the rerun of a Colts loss. Just not something we look forward to, right? So today, I want to have a frank conversation about tithing. And understand that this topic of tithing and the larger issue of Christian giving is something that we owe God. And if so, just how? Where does it come from? Why is it in the Bible? And what does it mean for us today? So let's begin with understanding very simply, what do we mean when we talk about the word tithe? Tithe literally means 10% of our resources, which we give to God. The word tithe simply means 10%. It started with Abraham in the book of Genesis, and later became a practice to be kept by all Israelites in the Torah. We see that in the first scripture verse from our reading today in Leviticus 27. All tithes from the land, whether the seed from the ground or the fruit from the tree, are the Lord's. They are holy to the Lord. In other words, people were reminded in a very agricultural society where their currency was produce, that first 10% really didn't belong to us, it belonged to God. In my first church I served, I didn't know anything about stewardship, much less how to have a campaign. So I went and met with a retired pastor who used to do stewardship consulting with other churches. He told me about his first church in the mountains that was just across the valley from a church of another denomination, a more conservative denomination. They had the same membership, almost identical, made up of people in the same community. But their church was always doing more, investing more in missions, more building projects. And one day, he went to visit his colleague. He said, "How come you people can afford to do things we cannot afford in my church?" The pastor of that congregation said, "Well, I guess my people are just kind of crazy." That's just the bottom line truth. They believe that tithing belongs to God. First and foremost, it's not even theirs. Their first 10% belongs to God, and giving does not begin until 11% or 12% or 14%. That's when they start to give. So in the First Testament, this notion of tithing was about giving the first 10% of your resources to God. Now, in the New Testament, tithing is not talked about as much. And the way that it's talked about in the few references that are there, there's sort of a mixed message. In the Gospels, Jesus rebukes the religious authorities who tithe, who follow out their obligation, who keep the practice, but they're not very obedient in other aspects of their conduct and their religious behavior. So he sort of criticizes their tithing as a way to just feel holy and good about themselves. And yet there are references from Paul and in Hebrews that talks about encouraging people to tithe, to give that 10% for what God can do with it to make a difference in the lives of other people. In other words, tithing was not a requirement, but it was a choice people were encouraged to make. So what would encourage us today to make that choice? What would motivate us? Just to hammer it on us as a law and a requirement and an ought, you ought to do this? Or something godlier? I want us to think for a few minutes about the word O-W-E. And to talk about why it can be a good thing to owe God. So what does the first letter in O stand for? O. It stands for overcomes false pride. Overcomes false pride. As the people of Israel, after leaving Egypt in the Exodus led by Moses and approached the promised land, their destiny, Moses became concerned about what would happen spiritually to the people when they finally settled down and they built houses and they had large gardens. What would happen to their spirit? So in the book of Deuteronomy, he issued this warning. He said, "Do not say to yourself when that day comes that my power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth." In other words, Moses wanted the people to remember that back of every gift is the hand of God. That was the simple lesson. Back of every gift is the hand of God. Now that was a little easier to do in an agricultural society. When you brought your basket full of produce and set it down on the step, if you were at all tempted to say, "Look what I've done," you would remember very quickly, "Now wait a minute. Who created the sun and the soil and the rain that allowed me to have this produce? Who gave me the land that I planted? Who gave me the health and the ability to do this hard work?" No, back of every gift is the hand of God. And it's true for us today. Even though we might not be farmers and bring home at the end of the day a basket of produce, many of us do go to jobs or we live on retirement income. Back of those things, can you see the hand of God? How did you get your job? Did anybody ever give you a break in your career or an opportunity? Did anybody ever take a chance on you? How about your education? Even if you earned your own education, did you get a scholarship? Was that scholarship in existence because of someone else's benevolence? Did somebody help you with your education? What kind of environment did you grow up in? Were you taught that you really can be somebody and you can make something of yourself? Were you taught to try hard? Did anybody ever encourage you with your potential? Back of every gift is the hand of God. Now, the purpose of this is not just to put us in our place. The purpose isn't just to humble us. It's actually to encourage us, because when our basket is half empty, if we have believed that that basket depends on our ability, when things start going down, then it's up to us to fix, and we're all by ourselves. Tithing is a way to remember we're not alone, and God never runs out of the power to bless. One of the things I'm really grateful for in my life was when I was a freshman in college, I worked at two little churches on the weekend as a student assistant pastor. And during the weekdays, after school, I washed dishes at the college cafeteria to earn some spending money. The money I made working at the churches went straight to tuition. So the first time there was a pledge campaign in the church I served, my pastor said to me, getting ready for the Sunday worship, "Now, do you have your card to fill out?" And I said, "I didn't think that applied to me." I said, all I make is $32 a week washing dishes. He said, "It applies the minute you receive anything in life." And he told me something then that I've come to believe is very true. He said, "If you're not faithful with what you have now, it will not get easier later on." He said, "You're earning $32 a week. If you tithe, that's $3.20 for you to give." And I'm really grateful, because ever since that day, I have never lived on 100% of my income. And I'll promise you, if I was trying to start that now, I believe it would be a challenge. And I'm earning a little bit more than $32 a week these days. It doesn't get easier. But here's why I'm really grateful for it. Because there have been so many times when Susan and I have looked at our tithe and we've thought, "Oh, can we really afford that? Boy, we really need to scrape back 1 or 2% because we just need it right now." And we don't give in, because underneath the gift we know is the hand of God, and that we're going to be taken care of. And it just helps us to live with this understanding, when things are down, that I'm not out. That God's power to bless is still at work. Now that leads to the next letter in O. W stands for welcomes God's help. And this is where discussion about tithing gets fun. Look at the next scripture reading in your bulletin. This one is from Malachi. And Malachi quotes God's word to the people: "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing." God says to the people, "Test me in this, and see if you do not discover how much more I'm able to give you." Tithing is a good investment strategy. Now that sounds very self-serving, but that is God's promise. I heard of a church in Kalamazoo, Michigan one time. They so believed in this principle that the pastor stood up one Sunday and he said to people, "If you're not tithing, I want to challenge you today to begin tithing, giving 10%. And if you don't find that God can do more with your 90% than you can do with the full 100% after 30 days, if you don't find that to be true, then the church will refund your offering." Now, I want to make that same promise to you today. If you're not tithing, I want you to begin giving 10%. And if you find after 30 days that God is not able to stretch your 90% more than you can stretch the 100%, then the church in Kalamazoo, Michigan will refund your offering. Cross my heart on that one. Scout's honor. But seriously, There's no explaining it. There's no way to prove it. And it's not always a monetary blessing. Sometimes the way God blesses us is with a favor that someone does for us we did not expect. It's with the unexpected rebate or discount that we were not counting on. It's any number of ways that we find, oh, I'm being looked after. What would happen if you tried that? Just to welcome what God can do. There was an article in a magazine telling about a young couple who, after they had children, decided that they wanted to find a church home. They both grew up in church, but by the time they went to college, they didn't want to have anything more to do with church. They were really burnt out on the guilt trips, especially when it came to money. They just could not stand churches that talk about money because they remember feeling guilty as children that they're not doing enough. So now they're searching for a church, and they visited this congregation. First Sunday, wouldn't you believe it, the pastor preaches about tithing. But this tithing message was different. No guilt, no obligation. The pastor talked about the freedom that we all need financially, how we can sometimes find ourselves in debt, and God doesn't intend for us to live our lives feeling constrained. How do we find blessing? How do we find freedom in our lives? And he talked about tithing as something that benefits the giver. In fact, the pastor said, if you start tithing, don't give it to the church. I want you just to try it to see if it's true in your life. So they went home, and they decided to give it a try. And after a few months, giving money that they did not think they could afford, they found that they were able to get, with the 90%, begin getting a handle on their credit card debt, begin saving money like they really did intend to do. And they started finding some freedom, giving what they did not think they could even afford or have. There's no explaining that. Now, where do you think that magazine article appeared? Christianity Today, the United Methodist Reporter. It was in Forbes magazine, a business journal, offering the idea that tithing might actually be a good investment strategy. Then the E in O, after we talk about overcoming false pride and welcoming God's help, the E stands for enlarges my life. Tithing enlarges my life. If there's any kind of legalism when it comes to tithing, it has to do with the way in which God created the world. God created nature with this legalistic device that tithing actually enlarges things. There was a Chinese village that had the practice of taking the best 10% of their potato crop and using it to seed and plant next year's crop. But over time, people started holding back and keeping the best potatoes for themselves. And eventually, the villagers noticed that the potato crop was diminishing. They were getting smaller and smaller potatoes every year, and they figured out why. You see, it's a law of nature that God has woven into the fabric of life, that when we give our best, we discover the best. John D. Rockefeller was 23 years old when he became a millionaire. He was 50 years old when he became the world's first billionaire. He grew up in a pretty conservative religious environment that taught that tithing is something you owe God. It's your obligation. So he tithed. He gave 10% away to try to free his conscience of that guilt, but he continued to be obsessed with how to extend his vast fortune. When he was 53, his health started to fail him. He lost his hair. He couldn't digest anything besides milk and crackers. Doctors began to wonder if he was going to live beyond another year. One morning, he woke up. He had a dream that startled him. In this dream, he was going to heaven. He died. And he was taking with him everything in his life he had worked so hard for. He realized that he couldn't keep it. He couldn't take it with him. That there would actually come a day when he would not have anything he spent his life earning. When he woke up, he called his attorneys. He called his accountants. He said, I want to talk about directing some of my wealth, a good significant part of my wealth, to healthcare, to hospitals, to research. And that day started the John D. Rockefeller Foundation, a foundation that led to the discovery of penicillin, cures for tuberculosis, and some of the strains of malaria that were present at the time. John D. Rockefeller, the day he started that foundation, started to get better himself. He didn't die in his 50s. He lived to be 98 years old. Now, here's why I think he got better. Because he redefined the word owe. He stopped looking at what he owed God as an obligation and started looking at what was his opportunity to let his life be a blessing. And to understand that everything in his life he owes to God. It's a gift. And God, how do you want to use the gift of my life? So I want to close the message today by inviting you to take a challenge. A challenge to think of what would be a next step of generosity in your life. At the bottom of the outline this morning, you'll notice a little statement, and I'd like for you to consider this as a personal covenant with God. Today, Lord, I choose to see you as the owner of everything I have, and my purpose is to steward all you've given me to honor you. I welcome your help in my financial life, and I believe you'll take care of me. As a sign of my trust, I commit to you, and then this is whatever you feel led to do. Now, I would say, if you've never been a tither, if you've never given 10%, don't wait until you think you can afford it. I invite you today as an act of faith to say, I'm gonna try it out. I'm gonna increase my giving to 10%. And if you think I'm some kind of a huckster trying to increase the church coffers, don't give it to St. Luke's. Now keep giving what you're already giving to St. Luke's, because we do need that. But if you make an increase, give it to another cause that's important to your heart. Give it to something that's going to be of benefit to somebody else. But do it to understand what it does for you. Now, you don't turn this in, you don't do anything with it. If you take this step today and you sign your name and you date it, fold it up and put it somewhere only you will see it. In your wallet, in your pocketbook, in your pocket. Use this just for you, no one else. But take it as a challenge in making a further step, if not tithing, at least a step in that direction, to see what it does for you spiritually and understanding the richness of the blessing God wants the giver to know. Let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you as the giver of every good blessing, the giver of our very lives, and the one who only gives your best to us. You hold nothing back. You give your very Son, Jesus Christ. Help us as you direct us and speak to our spirits to be willing to take steps of deeper trust, knowing that there are rewards to find that might not be found any other way. We pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.